You're listening to the Children's Hour and a show about Mars. This is the Mars Rover song by Talia Rose.
Dear Perseverance, I'm thinking of you. Now that you've landed, there's so much to do. I know you'll follow your mission with care, but searching for life must get lonely out there. Others before you have journeyed alone, far from the planet you once knew as home. Their wheels grew weary, their batteries low, and most of them said their goodbyes long ago. But old curiosity's days aren't over. One friend for my little Mars rover.
Listening to the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone. Today on the show, we're learning about Mars with Dr. Larry Crumpler. He is a research curator of volcanology and space sciences at the New Mexico Museum of Natural History and Science. And he is also one of the people who is working directly with the Mars rover called Perseverance currently, right now. As we're learning about Mars, so many of our planets have moons. Does Mars have a moon?
Yeah, Mars has two moons, actually, very small. They're a fraction of the size of the Earth's moon. They orbit in closer, so they orbit really fast, like, you know, several 9 hours or something, you know, one of them goes around. There's one that's like 10 miles across and one that's about 5 miles across. They actually go in front of the sun periodically, and it's kind of an eclipse of the sun by the moon of Mars, the larger moon, Phobos. It's kind of a potato-shaped object, and it just kind of slides across the sun. Doesn't cover it totally like the Earth's moon does, but we do see a shadow on Mars, and we did measure the temperature drop on the surface during the eclipse.
Why is it that Mars has two moons compared to us who have only one, and how does that affect the planet's orbit?
Well, they're pretty small, so they don't have a lot of effect like tides or anything else, so it doesn't really affect the orbit of Mars too much. And as to why Mars has these two, we're not quite sure. There are actually missions planned to go to Phobos, sample it and bring that back. That'd be an easier thing to do than going to Mars. We don't even know if they're formed like the Earth's moon or whether they were captured. Some people think they're captured asteroids that just happened to fall into Mars orbit. Some people think they formed when a larger body hit Mars, and so they were ejected as some of the debris and collected. So there's different ideas about, how they form.
It would actually be easier to land on that teeny-weeny 10-mile-across potato-shaped thing than Mars. I just am blown away that you're so certain that
it's only 10 miles across, so that's not a lot of gravity. And so, you'd actually be able to hop around the planet or around the moon pretty quickly because you could jump so high.
Oh, well, that'd be fun.
It'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I would think.
Does Mars have weather like Earth?
Good question. Yeah, Mars has weather, not like Earth, but it has similar to Earth type weather. It has storms that come up. It has high pressures and low pressures. Of course, it has seasons. The atmosphere sometimes crystallizes out water in the form of ice at high altitudes, and it gets so cold that carbon dioxide forms. So it has carbon dioxide snow at higher latitude. In fact, the weather is what creates a lot of the big major dust storms, some of which have proven deadly for past rovers.
So if you were standing on Mars, you might be rained on?
Well, no, all of the water on Mars is hardly enough to, you know, wet your whistle. We're talking about dry, dry. Antarctica is dry. Well, this Mars is drier. And it's because the water hasn't circulated. It hasn't gone up in the atmosphere and rained out. Most of it froze out at the North Poles or is frozen into the ground. So there's no water cycle. So everything's just kind of dried up. And then what left behind evaporated and then interacted in the upper atmosphere and sent out into space. So all sorts of things have acted to dry the surface of Mars out. It's not that it doesn't have any water, but it's all locked up as ice in the ground or the poles or has been blown away.
So do they think there's groundwater on Mars?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. There's,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Like aquifers, like the planet Earth
has? Yeah, most of them are frozen, but we suspect there might be some at certain depths or, you know, fluid.
Dr. Larry Crumpler is our guest today. We're learning about Mars. There's a lot to learn about Mars, even from Earth, but better than that, Dr. Crumpler is part of the team running one of the rovers, the Perseverance rover, which is actually on the surface of the planet of Mars and doing exploration and science every day. We have a lot more to learn. Stick with us. This is the Children's Hour.
Let's visit the planet of Mars. There's so much to learn on the planet of Mars. The red planet in a billion stars. Come and sing along about the planet of Mars. On the fourth planet from our burning sun, and the second smallest planet in our solar system. I have the tallest mountain named Olympus Mons. It's the tallest mountain in the whole system. Phobos and Deimos are my two moons. Phobos is larger of the orbiting two. It circles me three times a day, and that's true. But it takes 30 hours for Deimos to loop. Let's visit the planet of Mars. There's so much to learn on the planet of Mars. The red planet in a billion stars.
That's Kids Learning Tube from Planets of Our Solar System with Mars. You're listening to the Children's Hour. Today we're learning about Mars with Dr. Larry Crumpler. He is a planetary volcanologist and geologist who works with Perseverance, one of the Mars rovers.
When do you think we'll get the first human to Mars?
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
The standard answer to that is that it's 20 years from whatever day you're talking about it. The bottom line is it's incredibly difficult to do. As late as 2020, we were talking about, you know, somewhere in the 2035 range or something.
Whoa.
Now that's, you know, kind of like impossible. You know, even then, you know, we were starting to talk about how, well, that's not going to happen. It's probably going to be more like 2050. By the time you solve all the problems, I still think that it's going to be somewhere after 2050.
After 2050.
Other figures here in the U.S. say they're going to do it in just a few years or something. But
we'll find out.
Yeah.
We still have a lot more to learn, I would assume.
That's right.
So we don't send people up there to never.
Yeah, it's Mars is a very poisonous and caustic place with sulfur and all sorts of nasty things.
Does it smell bad? If you were to be breathing it smell bad on Mars? What's the atmosphere like?
Yeah, well, the atmosphere, of course, is like being 200,000 feet up here on the Earth. So it's like spacesuit weather and very cold most of the time. And the surface has all of these nasty chemicals. And so there's been suggestions that, because it has a lot of minerals that are ready to oxidize, but haven't. So you would get like all this dust on you, your spacesuit, and then you'd go in the airlock and take the spacesuit off, even if you tried to vacuum it all off. You know, there'd still be some dust, and that dust would get on you. And it's kind of like, you know, little dust particles of hydrogen peroxide or something. I mean, it just would really itch.
That sounds horrible. Why does anyone want to go to Mars?
Yeah, really.
I heard that there was a machine that was put on the most recent Mars rover that was supposed to make an Earth-like atmosphere out of Mars's atmosphere.
Yeah.
Did that actually end up working?
Yeah, that was the instrument known as MOXIE. I've forgotten what it is. Mars, oxygen, something. The instrument was a little box, and it had technology in it that basically took the carbon dioxide from the Martian atmosphere, split it into the oxygen and carbon, and collected the oxygen, and it worked. We've performed the experiment with that many times, and I've forgotten how much oxygen we generated, but generated enough to prove the concept works and that we can in the future expect to send that technology to Mars with any astronauts to generate oxygen, not just to breathe, but also oxygen for rocket fuel.
Wow. Who knew that that was even a thing?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, turns out you can't.
You're hearing the voice of Dr. Larry Crumpler. He is a volcanologist and a geologist, and at the New Mexico Museum of Natural History and Science, he is the research curator of volcanology and space sciences, as well as an associate professor at the University of New Mexico. Dr. Crumpler, thank you so much for being with us on the Children's Hour. We could go learn tons more.
Yeah.
Thank you for being with us on the show.
A lot of good questions, too.
The kids are pretty great. Thank you so much for being with
us. You're welcome.
There is a lot more to learn about Mars, and we've posted learning materials to childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Mars. We'll catch you next time for another edition of The Children's Hour.
The Children's Hour is produced by The Children's Hour Incorporated, a New Mexico nonprofit.
You can find photos, links, learn-along guides, and more about us at childrenshour.org.
This episode of The Children's Hour was written and produced by me, Katie Stone, with production help from Sarah Gabrielli and Thaniel Lentz. Chad Shear was our recording engineer at Outpost, and Amber Scheel writes our learning guides. Find learning materials for this episode at childrenshour.org. Look for Mars.
Find our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, or go to our patreon.com/thechildrenshour.
Or ask your smart speaker to play The Children's Hour podcast.
Our theme music was written by C.K. Barlow.
The Children's Hour is distributed by Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to The Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio.